And a good Thursday morning to you. Welcome into In Focus, News Radio KMAN, our first In Focus of 2020. And guess who gets to go first? It's NBAF officials, the National Bio and Agro Defense Facility here in Manhattan. We have Dr. Ken Burton joining us in studio. Good morning. Good
morning, Brandon. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Dr. Marty Veneer in studio as well. Thanks for being here.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And we have John Mose, Security Director at NBAF. Welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
And glad to have you all in. Y'all have a good New Year's. I know it wasn't so great with the K-State football game.
No, but the great crowd. Yeah. Marty and I were both there and as part of the crowd. And my gosh, Beale Street was definitely purple.
Yes.
And the stadium was more purple than
yes.
you could ever hope for. So it was great.
Downtown Memphis is a great area, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
I love it down there. I went there about 10 years ago in the summertime, and it was beautiful. Did you go to Graceland? Did you have a chance to go to Graceland?
We went last time that they were there, but passed on this time.
Okay.
But, I'll tell you, got to give kudos to the K-State band, though. They played down on Beale Street, and just incredible. They were great.
Fantastic. The weather was good, too. It looked like about 50 degrees, somewhere around there.
Wasn't bad at all.
Very good. Well, too bad they came up short, but, you know, what a great opportunity for a lot of fans to get down there and see that. And you mentioned purple, dressing up in purple. Marty, you had a good time?
Oh, I did have a good time. And I would also say, you were asking about Graceland. I would also say for anybody going, to go by the Civil Rights Museum, which is really spectacular. But, yes, it was great to see all the folks in purple. It was another one of those years where it was like everyone you ever knew from K-State, so it was a giant class reunion. It was great.
That's awesome. Yeah, you're right. That Civil Rights Museum is something else. I saw that as well my last trip to Memphis, Tennessee. As far as what we're discussing here on the show today, we're going to be talking a little bit more about security, and that is of utmost concern with NBAF facility. John's going to talk a little bit more about that, and we'll start off just kind of introducing you. John, first of all, what's your background?
Brandon, I spent 26 years in the Air Force after I graduated from the Air Force Academy and was a Security Forces member, served in a variety of positions from the command level at the installation, headquarters level in Washington, D.C., and then had the opportunity to command NATO forces while we were deployed in Afghanistan, and then rounded out my career at U.S. Transportation Command, and where I was responsible for DOD shipments worldwide as far as security and force protection was concerned. So that's the experience that brought me here.
Okay, and you like the job?
Oh, love the job. Love the job. It's a great opportunity. I mean, security is certainly out front as far as this facility is concerned, and to get in on the ground floor, I've been here approximately 4 years, and to get in on the ground floor and actually build it from the ground up has been an excellent opportunity, and it's a fabulous system, and when we open for operations, I've got a lot of confidence in what we're putting together from a security standpoint.
As far as the public is concerned, will they be allowed to visit campus locations once the facility is open and operating?
There's one thing that we like to talk about in security, and we do have a visitor center, but you can't visit there. It's a closed campus, and one of the reasons for that is from a security perspective, you want to push your detection out as far as you possibly can. So we do that right at the perimeter of the facility, and we want to make sure that if you come onto the campus that you have official business there, and so from that standpoint, no, there won't be any public locations that you can visit.
Okay. Very good. Well, as far as special considerations for anybody who would like to become an employee?
Yeah, that no different probably than what you would see for a member who is joining the military, someone in the medical profession, law enforcement profession. Like those, we want to make sure that we have trustworthy and reliable people that are employed. So along with the skill set that you need, obviously, to work, whether it's in the science background or in the engineering background, as far as the systems that operate within the facility, we want to make sure that we get trustworthy and reliable folks that are part of our team.
How big is your team of security officials?
The security team is depending upon the number of federal employees. It's a combination of both federal employees and then contract employees as well.
Okay, and with security, it's 24/7.
That's correct. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We want to make sure that we have a security presence on the site, and that includes, again, a combination of contract employees as well as federal employees that are responsible for the oversight of operational security. And again, that goes on 24 hours a day. We have a presence.
All right. Yeah, no sleep there in the security department for sure. Well, as far as the complications of the security, is it complicated?
It uses the same principle that security would for any large organization. And as I mentioned before, you want to start your detection as far out as you possibly can. And then from that point on, it's a matter of implementing concentric circles. And what I mean by that is as you move closer to the facility and those resources that you consider critical, you want to make sure that there are a variety of checks as you get there. So if you start with your screening at the outset, in other words, when you get to the campus, there's continuing checks throughout as you move through the campus and get to the working part of the laboratory. So complex might not be the right word, but certainly it's going to be robust, because as again, we want to make sure that only authorized folks have access to facility because of the work that's being done there.
Well, if you're just joining us, we're talking with John Mose. He's the security director at the National Bio and Agri Defense Facility here in Manhattan, and we're talking about the security measures that go on there. And as far as additional resources, will you need additional community resources to support the facility, such as police or fire?
Well, and certainly we need resources, just like any other institution or organization would in the community, and certainly your law enforcement response, your fire response, medical response is going to come from the facility, and I've started those relationships, and it's been we've been greatly received by the community when it comes to that. As far as I said, I've been on site for about 4 years, and within the first month, I had the opportunity to meet with Riley County Police Department and to meet with the Manhattan Fire Department and talk to medical responders. And based on their enthusiasm for their support and our constant communication, we continue to build that relationship. We've done a number of orientations as the facility was being constructed with all of them, to include the fire department doing regular tours with their folks and Riley County supervisors from the police department coming up and I've introduced them to the site and provided them with briefings and done orientation tours, because it's going to be important to us that they're familiar with the site. There are first responders, again, just like any organization in the community, and we want to make sure that they have exactly what they need if we need help.
It seems to me in a job like security, a lot of pressure is on you to not have any mistakes here. Can you talk a little bit about that process and what that maybe what it's like here to work with some of the security team?
Sure, of course, mistakes are always bad, and you know when you put together a security team, you want to bring together people that are always aware of what could happen and are always planning. Not necessarily. Well, certainly for the worst case scenario. So, should that ever happen, but what we can do now to make sure that we don't get to a worst case scenario. We want to make sure that we have all our preparations in place. We want to make sure that as a staff, the entire staff for the facility is properly trained, because on a facility like that, you only have so many security personnel, but. If you establish a security culture within that organization, everybody that works there can be a sensor for security, and we certainly want to make sure that inputs from every employee that is there is going to be taken seriously, because when you can do that, that's a great asset to have that many eyes and ears looking out for the safety and security of everybody on the site and of course the work that's being done on the site.
All right. Any additional information you'd like the community to know about security for the campus and the facility?
Well, just to expand on what I just previously said, if every employee on the site can be a sensor for that site, an additional set of eyes and ears, everyone in the community can do the exact same thing. And again, we've established a relationship with the Riley County Police Department and fire from a first response perspective. So if you think you have any information or as the facility opens up and time goes on, please don't hesitate to contact one of those organizations, because that information will get to us, because we do work together on a regular basis to make sure, as I said before, that everyone on the campus is safe and secure, and the work that's done there also is safe and remains secure. So, again, great community, and hopefully, as we do move towards opening and operations, I just want to encourage everybody to be a part of what we're doing up there from a security perspective.
Yeah, I think it's very reassuring to know that the security of NBAF is in really good hands, it sounds like. Let's take a quick time out. We'll come back, continue our interview with NBAF officials here on In Focus. You're listening to News Radio KMAN.